Thessalonians, and what I was going to read is from chapter 5 and just the last few verses. And again, it won't be old to you at all, but I was going to, verse number 16, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And as I wanted to read that to you in Thessalonians, because, of course, that's instruction he's given to the church at Thessalonica, but that's also applicable, of course, for us here as far as in today's life as Christians in the church. And rejoice evermore, back to that verse 16. In other words, be joyful. Don't lose your joy. I know sometimes that's hard to do. I know some of us, we can't help it. We get out of bed grumpy some mornings, and it takes us a while to get going. Got to have that cup of coffee or tea or whatever it may be to get us going. But don't lose your joy. Stay joyful. Be thankful for what the Lord's done for you and what he's done for us and for the church and for your family. Rejoice evermore. You know, it's easy sometimes to get down. And, you know, if you left the house this morning and you didn't have a wreath hanging on your door, that's a blessing. Now, at some point in our lives, as we live, those things come around to our families as well. And that's part of living, part of life. We're all in here old enough to realize that and know that. But still, it says rejoice evermore, not at certain times. It says pray without ceasing. And I think the key to verse 16, rejoice evermore, is to pray without ceasing. You get your prayer life out of line, and you wonder why things are happening the way they are sometimes. You know, when you go back and look, so am I studying the way I should? Am I praying the way I should? And that doesn't mean all the prayers we have or ask get answered. But at the same time, pray without ceasing. And I'll just do the third one. Said, in everything give thanks. And that leads back to the pray without ceasing. You're giving thanks in your prayers, and you're thankful that your feet hit the floor every morning. You're thankful for you got a Savior in Christ Jesus. And you rejoice in that. And I won't go through and read the rest of them, but those three things there, I think, are going to connect back to Proverbs and what Solomon is trying to tell his people and what Solomon was trying to tell his children. So I'm going to give you some tips here, so to speak, the way I think about that. When I read Proverbs, I always think about that. It'd be like a father or a mother giving advice to their children. And said, and you know, I remember... my mom used to give us advice, you know, we'd go to school or whatever, and she'd say, now, you better watch that crowd there, you better watch this crowd, or be careful here, or be careful there, or, you know, even if it's as simple as if you're coming back from work or somewhere at night, you be careful, that road's dangerous at night, you know, you got them sharp curves, you know, just being mindful of trying to remind us of what's, she's being mindful, but trying to remind us of things, of some dangers that lay out there. I think pastors do that a lot of times, too, to the flock. As they preach, they're preaching to us, and in that too, there's also warnings that's passed out. Just like to the lost is being preached, there's that warning of hell as it goes out. So if we look this morning, let's go back. I wanted just to read that. That came to mind on the way over here to church, that fits with those. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. So we'll go back over here, if you would, to Proverbs, and I picture a and that may not be true here, but I picture a man probably in his, I don't know, 40s, 50s, and may have been a lot younger. Because when you got that much wisdom, you may have to start a lot younger. But I just see someone like that. He's lived a little bit. He's noticed a few things. And he's starting to give us some advice. So we'll only read verses 1 through 12. We'll go back and look at those and we'll be done. It says, my son, forget not my law. So he's already, if you'll notice in here too, there's going to be forget not, let not, trust in, be not, honor, despise not. You're going to find where acknowledge. You're going to find words like that, action words, in these 12 verses. So I'll back up again. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So we'll go back and look at those 12 verses, and there's some interesting points in there I found interesting about just some of the words in the Hebrew language versus the English language and what their definition would be today. It won't be before you long. And again, hope this would be an encouragement to us, again, to be joyful in our hearts and continue in prayer and, again, be thankful every day. And I think what Solomon's trying to do here is to keep those three things specifically. If you'll follow this roadmap, so to speak, it'd make it a lot easier. Not that it's going to be easy, but it'd make it a lot easier. And, of course, as you'll see here, it's putting God first in our lives. And this is a point of Solomon that he's making. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In other words, as you look there and I think about this, and let thine heart keep my commandments. We think about our heart and of course, being our feelings, so to speak. Here, as you look back in the Hebrew, and as the writer here, it's also being mindful of the commandments. In other words, obeying the Lord. And that's the key, because you notice that starts out in the very first verse. Solomon doesn't hesitate to tell us that. He said, my son, the number one thing I want you to remember, and I'm paraphrasing here, but that's the way I think about this when I read that. He says, forget not my law. In other words, keep my commandments. Obey the commandments. And he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In other words, the soul of a man. In other words, not just keep them because they're there to keep, but just the innermost person of you, the being. In other words, that you want to keep them. In other words, that is not one of those things. It's a chore for you to do. That's just part of your nature now. After you've been saved, that's just who you are. But he says you got to be mindful. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I add the word mindful there too, because a few verses later he mentions mindful. And the reason why is if you're not careful, you can get yourself caught up in things going on outside in the world or on the job or wherever it may be. And your mind can be pulled away and take you away from the things of God. So we'll finish there on the first verse, but he says, forget not my law. And it's not like once you've been saved, you're going to forget all about the Lord, but what he's saying, keep it before you always. And he's going to give us some advice when we do that. And see, to not forget God's law, that goes back to that rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, giving thanks always. That keeps God's law and his commandments in front of us daily. We don't just let it pass. We're thankful for that. Let's go on and look a little further. So, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And so if you go there and we look, oh, hold on. I got my clock setting. I get some of those. I don't know if you guys or not. I apologize for the... I just keep my clock on up here so I'll know, but we're not supposed to get those phone calls like we used to, you know, if you're on that no-call list. And I'll get calls from South Dakota, and that's what that was, and all kinds of places. And anyway, that's sorry for the interruption, but that just buzzed in. I've got it turned off, but anyway, let's go back and look at verse number 2 again. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So if we go back and we think about it, we don't want to forget God's law, God's commands. That word forget back in verse 1, how it ties into verse 2, I looked that up and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's spelled S-H-A-K-A-C-H. And it not only means forget like you just in time you forget or it's not on the forefront of your thoughts, it's willful forgetfulness, willful disregard, willful disrespect. And so as we get into verse number 2, verse number 3, you're going to see why Solomon gives us that warning. In other words, it's you do it and you know you're doing it. You know you're disregarding things of God. You know you're not being thankful. You know you're not praying. And you get to the point where you really don't care. So it's a willful disregard, a willful neglect. And what that does, that will make you hard-hearted. That's why it says here, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And as we'll see up here in just a second, it talks about, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. In other words, it'll make you callous towards God's commandments, toward what God would have for you to do in your life, because it's a willful disregard. And that's what Solomon's warning us against. He said, don't let that happen to you. So be mindful of that again. As we look here, we see, said, the truth, and I jotted this down, it's from that word, it's forget, S-H-A-K-A-C-H, and again, willful disregard and neglect. And as I jotted that down, there was a little comment next to that, and it says, in cases where the truth becomes mislaid. And I thought, that's odd to have that statement there. Except I thought, well, you know, what is, as a Christian, we're being built upon all the time. You know, and that goes back to what the pastor was preaching on. What was that last Sunday before, about how, you know, we've got a sure and firm foundation in Christ Jesus. But he's always working on us. Always working on us. You think about that, always. And now I read that there and I jotted it down because it didn't mean anything to me. I thought, why would they have that next to this word, forget? It becomes mislaid. And I started to think about laying bricks, laying block, just like you'd lay a foundation. And that you may have started out firm and your foundation is used building up and the Lord's working on you, kind of like the potter working on the clay. And as it, all of a sudden it gets a little imperfection in it. Maybe, and I know just watching men lay brick before, you get about halfway up, maybe you get a cold night and you lay that brick or you lay that stone and you don't cover it or it's too wet and you come back by the next day and it's been a big frost or a freeze and you see where that mortar's froze. And I saw masons have to come in with their hammer from that level up. They have to take all that down, start again. It didn't hurt the foundation. The foundation's still firm and solid. It's still there, but they had a little problem on the way up. They maybe laid it again when it's too cold, bad weather, they didn't cover it, whatever the situation may be. We got to see, when we got to go up to Boston and Maine that way, we stopped one day. I don't guess I've told you guys this, and we saw a potter. You know, a guy works with a potter. Yeah, you know, clay, he makes clay pots. And boy, he'd have one spun up, be real big. And then he'd spin it way back down, or he'd take a big chunk out of it. And so Jesse asked him, said, what'd you do that for? He said, well, I noticed it was going to come out a little crooked. He said, or I've got this side a little thicker. And it'd be spinning. I think, well, how can he know that he's got one side thicker than the other? He said, I can feel it with my hands. And you think about that, how we are as Christians today, and God's got us. He knows where we're at. He can feel it. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows we'd be here today. So I think about that potter and that wheel and him spinning that. And sometimes he'd have to break it down. There are a few times he'd take it all the way off and throw it off. He'd put him a new glob on there, but he starts just with a glob of clay. And you all have probably seen him work that before, but I never watched somebody that long. One reason why I did, it was 92 degrees, and they broke a record that day, and it was air conditioned where he was at, so I just figured I'd stand there and watch him. But I stood in there and watched him, and Luis is kind of interested in that stuff, so he asked him some questions too, and he was talking back and forth, so it was just kind of neat to watch him. But boy, before you know it, he'd bring that thing, and he'd make a vase, he'd make a cup, he'd make a saucer, whatever he could. Whatever it was determined in the potter's mind to make that piece of clay, he could. But occasionally, he'd have to pull a piece out, and he'd break it back down, and build it back up. And that's what Solomon's telling us here, I believe. He said, be not forgetful. No willful disregard. No willful disrespect. Remember the potter, so to speak. Remember who formed you. Remember who made you. Be thankful for that. And let's move on. He says, because if you do, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse number 3 said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. As I went back here and I looked at these words as well. Mercy, kindness of one's heart, and your life toward others. It is the kindness and mercy we show regardless of circumstances. In other words, when you extend a helping hand to someone, expecting nothing in return. That's what it's talking about here. And again, I tried to go back and bridge the gap between the English and the Hebrew. Sometimes there's a little difference in the definitions. A lot of times it's real close. But it's really interesting to read that, because as they pinned that down, that's what they were thinking. That's what. So you think about that as he, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. In other words, helping hands without expecting anything from anyone else. And he said, bind. The word bind, and I'd marked it there, and I'm going to mark my little spot again because I just put a little line under it. Bind means to gird or confine. In other words, tie it up. Put it together. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. In other words, tie them about around your neck. Keep them there so they won't. In other words, don't forget. Keep them there. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And I went back, and that word table there, I think about a table, like a table here, or a table like you'd eat on. That table actually there means stone, or very thick or hardened wood, kind of like fossilized wood. And we think about that even almost as a stone. So, in other words, the table is mentioned here. It says, make it solid. Make it, in other words, when you write them upon the table of thine heart, you're just not going to erase them. You know, today we use what they call those smart boards in school. I never can figure those things out, so I still go ahead and I still use not even blackboards anymore. We have to use like a whiteboard. But I get through writing something, I can erase it, and I keep an eraser in one hand or marker in the other. Well, that's not what it's talking about. That's too easy to remove. What this is talking about is like a stone tablet would be, or like a piece of wood, but it's more like a fossilized piece of wood. In other words, you can engrave it in it, but it's a hardened piece of wood. It's something that's going to last for a long, long, long time. Be not forgetful. Don't just disregard the things of God. Be thankful. Pray without ceasing. Think about it. Rejoice evermore. And that's what he's telling us here is, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. And what's that going to yield? What would you see if you do that in your life? And this is Solomon now, the wisest man ever lived. This is what he says. Verse number 4 says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So there's the benefit. If we see from verse number 1, he says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse number 2, we saw from let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. In other words, tie a tight knot, one that can't be broken. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And again, is that heart, if you go back and look at that, it's in quotations to say mind. Much as we saw the same heart in verse 1, it meant to be mindful of these things. Keep them on the the forethought of your mind. Same way here in verse number 3, write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, keep them here. Don't let them go. If somebody were to ask you, why are you joyful every day? Why are you always praying? Why are you always so happy? Why do you go to church on Sundays? It's right here. You can tell them. So I can tell you. Let me tell you about the Lord. Keep it in the forefront of your thoughts. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse number 5, as we look here and see, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I'd found here, and I'd went back and looked if I can find out where I'd... Oh, here it is. I wrote it down on the back. Trust here means B-A-T-A-C-H. There was a few of these. I just couldn't pronounce the word, and they were so different. I even wrote them down. That was the second one I did that way. It says, refers to refuge or security. Cling to something with all confidence. In other words, you let it go. So trust in the Lord. And what it's saying here is you cling to the Lord with all the confidence you got. With everything that lieth in you, you trust in the Lord. And we do that if you're saved. Because you're trusting the Lord to take us home for our salvation. You think, as we look here, it says trust in the Lord. In other words, all security, all faith, all confidence in the Lord with all thine heart. And I like the second part of verse number 5, and I've heard this quoted so many times, and lean not into thine own understanding. And what that says is, I think, when I look at that, that we do have our own thoughts. We do have our own understanding. Men and women, we do. We have our own plans, so to speak. We have our own ideas of what we think might be best for us. But as we think about that, and you all do, say, well, yeah, that's right, Brian, we do. We all, you know, we have ideas and thoughts. That says don't count on them. Don't lean on them. You know, I think about that sometimes. We get students coming in new and young, you know, and right out of getting really, not right out of school, but, you know, they've been in school a while, but they're starting these new programs and stuff. And one of the first things we tell them is, people are going to ask you a lot of questions. Don't answer any of them. Wait till you get a little experience. Wait till you get out a while. Wait till you, in other words, you're going to have ideas of your own, but don't lean on them. Don't count on them. For right now, do what I say. Do what I suggest. Do the way we direct you. And I think about that verse the same way. That's how we are as Christians. We have our own ideas and thoughts, and the Bible doesn't say that. We don't. And that might be the direction the Lord has us to go, but the first part of that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, let Him lead you. That's where you need to lay your security. That's where you need to put your confidence. That's the direction you need to go. And in that, going back to Thessalonians, you'll be joyful. You'll rejoice evermore. You'll pray without ceasing. Think about that. You'll be thankful each and every day because you'll know where your help comes from. Let's move on here for the sake of time. I trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not into thine own understanding. And, of course, to lean on the Lord means to acknowledge Him in all things. Consult with God before you make a move or even before you get started in the day. You know, that was the pastor. Didn't he read that to us probably been a few months ago, talked about, what was that? Somebody had said, somebody, you guys probably remember better than me. Not for the sake of time, I won't try to. It was something about at the very end of the little a poem he was telling us, or prayer, and I took it as if it was a man laying in bed, but it could be a woman too. Said, I haven't even got out of bed yet. And the way he read that, said, Lord, help me with this day. I've already done this, 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 and this. And you'd think it'd be the end of the day. He said, because if I remember it correct, it was something about along the lines of, I've not stepped foot out of bed yet. I've not gotten out yet. In other words, trust in the Lord. That's where your confidence needs to be. In verse number 6, that's what made me think of that. In all thy ways, that means when we first get started during the day, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In other words, He'll keep them straight. They might always be smooth, but He'll keep them straight for you. So in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. In other words, He'll guide us in the direction He have us to go. Verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. And I think that goes back and ties back up into lean not into thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Verse number 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, I've told you that before. My mother used to say, everybody's balloon goes up, and at some point it's going to pop and come down a little bit. She said, it's all right sometimes to have a little confidence in what you know or what you do. She says, but don't get high-minded, I remember she used to say. And I remember that from the Scripture, and I'd hear that in Sunday school class in different places. And she'd relate that Scripture back to being like a balloon that goes up. She says, some people get so caught up thinking themselves or something, or that they know a lot, that their balloon goes up too high, she'd always say. She said, but I've always noticed that balloon tends to work its way back down, loses some of that air sometimes. And she said, it gets down back to where it needs to be. And that's what I think about, is that's being not wise in thine own understanding or thine own eyes. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to think. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And as I look here and I made a little note here, it says, fear the Lord, says, give Him the proper reverence. And if you do that, if you follow, and this is what really got me back over there in Thessalonians, if you pray daily, you're joyful down in your heart, and you know the reason for your joy. You think about that and you're thankful. And you don't quench the spirit. And we go there and read the rest of them. Then that won't be a problem. As we see here, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Because that'll be where you're already living. Think about that. This will allow you and help you to depart from evil. Verse number 8. And if you do that, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We're going to stop right here just second part. Because here's two of the last four that I went and looked up. That's okay. Navel. We think about navel and think about marrow to our bones, and we all know what that is. And, of course, the marrow is a living part of the bone. That's where we get a lot of our red blood cells from and our white blood cells and platelets and all those things in your blood your doctor likes to check. That comes from the bone marrow a lot of times. Not a lot of times. That's where it comes from, majority of it. And, of course, it gets taken up by the blood, and that's part of that, how God's put us together and how we function every day. It says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And why does that mention, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil? Well, that must be pretty important if he's going to compare that in Scripture to our navel and our marrow. So what does it say about a navel and marrow? What does that mean in Scripture? So we go back and said the navel refers to the centermost or the innermost portion of one's life.
You know, now a lot of these people that exercise and stuff, and you know, they'll say, "Oh, got to get that core strong. Got to get that." You hear that a lot. And I know Luis playing ball and Jesse playing ball, and I say, "Did y'all do any weightlifting today?" Of course, back when I went to school years ago, they just put all the weight on you they could, and have four or five boys standing around. That way, if it fell on your chest, they'd get it off. All right, need to do that again. You know, that's how they did it. Well, now it's all about the core. You know, they do things differently. And so, oh, we got to get a strong core. That way we can run and jump and do all this. And so it's all about the center of the body. Getting it, and that's the new wave, I guess, in all this exercise and stuff. And I wouldn't know that if they weren't in school, because it's just a little different than the way we ever did it, you know. But I think about that where the navel is, and it's in the core, the center of the body. And that's why it's referring to this. It says, shall be health to thy navel. If you think about that, or it should be strength. In other words, your core will be strong. In other words, that's where you think about it just physically. That's where you bend and you twist and you turn. And that's the center of the body. That's the core. That's the midpoint. And that's what it's saying here. It said, be not wise in thine eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if you'll do that, it shall be health to thy navel. In other words, it'll be strength to your innermost person. It'll be strength to the center of your body, the core. That heart we've been talking about, where up here we were told to bind them, talking about mercy and truth about thy neck, and we were told to forget not my law. By being not wise in thine own eyes, and trusting in the Lord, and leaning not to your own understanding, it shall be health to thy navel, in other words, your core, and marrow to thy bones. And marrow is the one that really sticks out. Navel refers to the center of one's life, or the innermost person, as far as the center or the core of the person's strength, willpower, so to speak. I can stay with it, no matter what, how many doors they turn me away from, no matter what comes up, I can handle it. But that's not you personally. That's because God gives you the strength to do that. But here's marrow. Marrow is where the life and all the strength is produced. So as I just told you a while ago about, that's where your white blood cells, red blood cells, your platelets, all that stuff doctors like to check. It's produced in the marrow. Without it, the marrow dies, you die. And so here it's talking about how the navel, the innermost portion, it's got its strength, it's firm, it's complete, it's the center of the body. The Lord makes it stronger. But here we get the marrow. It says, yeah, but without the marrow, the navel's nothing. In other words, your core is nothing. It's got to be fed from somewhere. And that's why here it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Keeps you strong, keeps you upright, keeps you fighting. Makes you stand when you don't feel like you can stand. It's what gets you out of bed every morning, and you rejoice and say, Lord, thank you for another day. And you get through that day. No matter what comes up, no matter what happens, you get bad news, you get good news. That's what keeps you going. Verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In other words, he's saying verses 1 through 8, said, here I give you some advice, some good advice I think you need to follow. And he said, he tried to compare it to our heart and our mind and our bodies, and just physically how to get through and make it through the day. And Solomon's given us some good advice that it'll strengthen you and it'll make you stronger in the Lord. And he said, it'll make you length of days and long life and peace. And what else did it say? It said several things. It said, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. But verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In other words, when he says honor, he means to glorify. That you know that's where it comes from. And see, I find that verse number 9 down below verse number 7, where it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. And in verse number 5, lean not to thine own understanding. Because we have our own understanding, but don't rely on it. Don't use that judgment yet. Verse number 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. And then we're talking about presses, that's just another word for vat. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In other words, you'll have a full and just joyful life in the things of God. And I think that's what he's saying. It doesn't mean, oh, it's going to get not a health and wealth gospel, so to speak, and you're just going to have... You're just going to go out and your car is going to be full of money and you got all new houses and all this stuff. But you're going to have a full life in the Lord, in your Christian life. You think about that. If we look here and see, and verse number 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. In other words, if any of these things you may fall short on, and you're one of his, you're a child of God. Chastening and correction refer to instruction by the Heavenly Father. In other words, to put you back on, as we saw the paths up there, to put you back on the right path, to get your mind thinking back along the things of God, to get your heart back where it needs to be. Make sure that binding, where you've talked about the binding of mercy and truth, it's not loosened up any. In other words, make it back tight. Make sure that your marrow's flowing, it's strong. Because again, that's what gives the strength to the core. Make sure your center is right, and you're going the right path in the right direction. But going back to verse number 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Obey the Lord. Keep his commandments. Because if you don't, there is a chastening hand of the Lord. And that's what we see here. My son, despise not the chastening from the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse number 12, and we're finished this morning. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. In other words, he's going to get your attention. The Lord is. Just like I do with my children. I'm just using that as an earthly example. And you did with your children. I'm sure some of you got grandchildren. And it might be a little harder with the grandchildren, I guess, sometimes. But you know how you correct them or put them on the right path. They say, well, wait a second. Here's my advice. You know, we're running into that sometimes now here at home, especially you do with the older kids. So here's my advice. But now, if you go your own way, sometimes that's the best way to learn. You know what I always say? A bought lesson's worth it all. The Lord, though, sometimes, they let us do the same thing. Now, you're there, though, just like with your children here. You're not going to let them worry too far off because, you know, you're going to protect them. You don't want them to get hurt. But sometimes you want them to maybe learn a lesson, something they remember. What it describes here, much as for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father in whom the son in whom he delighteth. In other words, sometimes we may rely too much on our own understanding, and that puts us back in remembrance of, well, you know, next time I'll go the direction the Lord wants me to go. Or as my mother always used to say about the balloon, be not wise in thine own eyes. Maybe we get too puffed up, too high-minded. We've got to be brought back down just a little. That's part of that correcting hand of the Lord. That's all I've got this morning. I hope that's encouragement to you. I know a lot of times we come in and, you know, you think about it. The world, and I say come in sometimes, I'm talking about myself, and we might be discouraged or have had a busy week or things happen. And I thought about this and heard a guy say this week. He said, boy, I said, I always like running into you. He said, I always seem so happy and easygoing and stuff. And I thought, boy, he just happened to catch me on a good day. And I remember what he said. He said, you know, the world can't read. Or he said, they can, but they don't. They don't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What they read is you. And I'd never heard that before. And so that made me want to be more excited and happy the next day, even though, you know, we're not always that way. But think about that. When your neighbor or you're in a store and somebody runs into you, they can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Genesis, whatever they want to read. He named off some scripture in the Bible, some Bible books, books of the Bible. He said, but you know, they don't read those. The world don't. They read you. So keep that in mind. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And be thankful. All right, got time to visit with one another and pray for the service.